Blog Talk Radio.
If you're trying to say that all brothers and sisters that haven't made it are lazy and ignorant?
Yeah, basically.
Have you ever heard of racism and discrimination?
It's the 1990s. Racism is a figment of black man's imagination. Brothers, we are moving into the next millennium. The year 2000 is here. Now we got to move into the future. If I'm lying, how you explain a man like Colin Powell? Huh? The white man never kept him down.
Colin Powell made it in spite of racism, not because it doesn't exist, you Uncle Tom.
Say it again, louder.
Uncle Tom!
You hear that, Kyle? Just because we stand up on our own 2 feet and we don't sing slave songs, they want to call us Uncle Tom.
You have to have sense enough to know that racism and homophobia still exist, brother.
So I'm Juice, right? I'm the enemy to all the brothers and the sisters and niggas like OJ. They the hero, right? Niggas are out there singing in the street, dancing in the street, because that nigga was supposed to be the second coming.
How many of you niggas were out there singing and dancing?
People weren't celebrating because he was a hero, brother.
So you admit he's guilty, right?
No, that's not what the man's saying. The man's saying that white folks have been getting over on black folks for centuries.
Please, niggas, let there be one voice of reason amongst all these niggas on this bus.
We are gathered here today to issue this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Midweek Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, DBA, Afro Nerd Radio. The call-in number, as always, as ever, never changes, at least thus far, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Don't be scurred, as they say in the South, along with the whippings, with the switch. From what I hear, just ask Adrian Peterson. We'll talk about it, but don't be scurred. Leave us your questions, your protestations, your comments. We can take it. We can handle it. As always, along with the number, we customarily play you some kind of urban alternative, black rock, classic groove cut. So that remains unchanged. Let's go back in time to Sly Stone. This is Poet. Poet. We'll be right back. Groove.
I'm a soul.
just giving you a skosh of groove, once again, legendary funkster, Sly Stone, a.k.a. Sylvester Stewart. Incidentally, folks, you may want to pick up some tunes courtesy of iTunes. Play Mr. Stewart's talent at the age of 9. There's a new release from a gospel group that he was a part of before he became Sly and the Family Stone. And the gospel group was called the Stewart Four. And I think in the early 50s, I mean, it goes back to the early 50s because Sly's probably around 70 now, 70 or 71. Anyway, you could tell the talent already. You know, you can also, I mean, he's young, but you can still kind of know it's Sly. You can get his phrasing even at 9. So I would definitely pick it up. A 9-year-old Sly Stone, very interesting, very historical. Maybe if I'll pick up a couple of tunes and also play them on the show. All right, without further ado, let's get to the captain. Captain Kirk, you're needed. Let's see, where will he be needed this time? The holodeck. It's been a while. The holodeck. Let's get to it, Cap.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Now, according to Little Kim, she said, first you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the respect. She extrapolated that, of course, from where? The Scarface movie. Now, that is so wrong. That is not correct. It's first you get the power, then you get the respect. Then you have the ability to take the money from anybody that you like. That's how it works. Because if I have the ability to kill you, and you can't kill me, doesn't matter how much money you have. I could take it from you at any given time. You work for me at this given point. This is why the bankers look to control, and not only look, they actually do. They control NATO. What does NATO do? They go around the world and say, leader, get out of here, our country, central bank. Leader, get out of here, our country, central bank. So I was having a conversation with a person that occasionally listens to the show. And they said to me, the bankers would never go. I said, never? That's the terminology that you're going to use? Now let's look into the word never. They said the Egyptian civilization, kingdom, authority would never fall. Stood very long, but it did fall. Ming Dynasty stood very long. They said it was never. It would never fall. They said man would never be able to handle the speed of a train, meaning which you get on a train and the speed would be too fast for man to handle, never be able to handle it. We handle that on a regular basis. That's nothing. They said man would never, never, never fly. We did that. They said man would never go to the moon. Now for you conspiracy guys out there, you got to get your facts right. Let me tell you about you conspiracy guys quickly. You go in with a hypothesis and you tailor the narrative. You don't look at all the information. Conspiracy guys say, oh, we never went to the moon. No, based on all the information that's out there, we went to the moon. Now, how we went to the moon is open to debate. The pictures that they showed, they decided to show you of the moon, that's open to debate. And once you start to look at all the evidence, a lot of things begin to change. But we went to the moon based on the evidence. How we got there, that's a whole different thing. All right? So get your facts together, you conspiracy MFers. That's just by the by. They said that we would never have a black quarterback win the Super Bowl. Doug Williams, look at your history. He did that. They said we would never have a black Miss America. We did that. Easy. They said we would never, ever, 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 and a lot of black people co-signed this, a black president. I think we did that two times so far. And they, now here's the next one that's running around, never. We will never, never have a woman president. Get out of here. It's going to happen. And what you will probably see for all you never individuals, sooner or later, hopefully sooner, is two women running against each other. All right? Because the syntax of the matrix is mathematics and emotion. And an older woman naturally knows how to handle emotion. Not no young woman. Young woman, forget about it. You're the worst. You're all over the place. Your emotions destroy you. Woman 40 and older. You get a woman like Merkel of Germany, who has a doctorate of physics. Put someone like that in charge. There you go. All right? Run with the syntax, and it's just about the mathematics, and then we're on and popping. And maybe the woman does what the men could not do, slit the throat of the bankers and redistribute the wealth. So be very careful when saying never, never. If you want to sound smart, super intelligent, you have to use terms such as not likely, probably not going to happen. You have to be very careful with never, because that's just a few examples of time and time again that people went never, 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 and they were proven wrong every time out. Back over to you, Sir Raffino. That was just food for thought. Let's get it going with the menstrual foolishness. Let's go.
Yeah, it seems like it's unavoidable, Captain. For the last couple of weeks, we've been really staying on the NFL, not just Afro Radio, but the media. They are on the NFL. And there's so much to unpack. And this is even going beyond the Ray Rice story, although the Ray Rice story is still kind of hovering over this issue. But now we're on to the next, as you would put it, as I always say, menstrual. Well, you know, I'm going to be slightly less critical, Mr. Peterson. Let's go to a clip first. This is Van Jones, who was supposed to be a part of the Obama administration, but the conservatives put a kibosh on that. But he's a well-versed gentleman. I believe he's friends of Prince Rogers Nelson. So he's kind of a hip dude, rabidly progressive. But I like him. But he has a new gig with CNN. So this is Van Jones with a few other guests discussing the Adrian Peterson affair. And after the clip, we will do what we do. We'll unpack. But let's listen to this CNN clip, and then we'll get to it. Hold on.
Well, first of all, a lot of Northerners and Yankees may not even know what a switch is. This is a switch. I brought this to show if you're not just black kids, white kids know what a switch is. Your grandma tells you, you go get me a switch, and you pull this twig off of a tree, and they hit you on the legs with it. And whether it's right or wrong, I think people need to understand this is a part of Southern culture. If you look at the polling data, a majority of all Americans, a majority of white Americans agree with corporal punishment. A majority of Southerners agree, Midwesterners too. This is something that goes on. On the cosmopolitan coasts, this is shocking to people. But there's paddling, there's whipping with belts, there's switching with switches, there's spanking, and this is something that we need to have a debate about. I would say to anybody, because I was corporally punished, kids today, you don't have to do that. Just take their iPod from them. Take their iPad. That's enough. You don't have to do that stuff anymore.
Right.
But you need to understand this is something that is a major a part of especially Southern culture. And to say that this guy is a complete lunatic, he took it too far, but it does happen.
Okay, Dr. Taylor, go ahead.
But this is a mistake also to characterize it as a black issue. The reality is spanking is an ineffective way to discipline children. And what happens is, yes, you may create fear, but if you keep spanking them, you will always create a lack of respect. And when you have a teenager who does not fear you nor respect you as they grow up, then you have a problem.
Dr. Taylor, everything you're saying makes sense, except that there are statistics, as Van was just saying, that 80%
of preschool children in this country, 80%, have been spanked. So not all of them are growing up to be aggressive or to have mood disorders or any of the things that we've heard come from spanking.
Spanking in and of itself is ineffective as discipline, but we're talking about abuse that leads to mood disorders and being more aggressive. And some parents do not know the difference between picking up an object to discipline or spank your child versus a firm pat or removing their hand. When you pick up objects, that's abuse. When you intend and want to inflict harm or pain to teach your child, that is abuse.
Very quickly, Judge, do you think that there is a cultural divide here, north, south, black, white?
I think that it's generational, Allison. I think people do what they have learned. I think they do
That's
what
true.
They have learned. I don't think it's necessary. I know white families who have been in my courtroom. I know rich families. I know poor families. My point is,
yeah,
I think it's whatever you have been taught
right.
is what you continue to do.
Great point.
But let me say this.
Yep.
The numbers
very
show,
important.
Let me just point out that the polling data is very clear that the majority of all racial groups in this country believe in corporal punishment. African Americans are about 5 to 6 points higher. But so it's not just a black issue, it's an American issue. We need to deal with it that way.
And that was exactly the point I wanted to make. But let me just say, and I think that Doc, who I love and know, I think that this is a teachable moment. And I am sorry that this has come to this, but I think it's a teachable moment in this nation that we've got to have this conversation. And you can't discipline a child when you're angry. Mm. I've said that to thousands of parents. Do not discipline when you're angry.
All right.
All right. Again, that was CNN with Van Jones discussing the latest controversy, child abuse controversy. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if this particular case rises past the threshold of actually being an abuse case. What makes it interesting is that now you're really getting into the corporate structure raising its ire, taking their monies away from the Vikings, which is the direct employer of Mr. Peterson and also the NFL. So you have the corporate structure not liking what they're seeing. Now they're seeing somewhat of a high-profile pattern, and they aim to take away or the threat of taking away their sponsorship if the NFL doesn't get their house in order. So we're looking at that aspect of it. But on the other side, we're looking at something that is very much in the old school Southern African American tradition. Now there are variants of corporal punishment among many ethnicities in this country and beyond. The term switch, when I would mention this in the last couple of days to my white colleagues, they didn't know what a switch was. They didn't know what. Matter of fact, you know, they would come up with the term and they thought it was some big bat. So now you're dealing with that aspect of it as well, with those who are looking in. This is almost like the Reverend Wright affair, dare I say, almost. When Reverend Wright was ranting, quote unquote, against America, and specifically American politics or American government, white folk weighed in, tried to tie President Obama or then Senator Obama to the church. I mean, he did belong to the church for 20 years, but they didn't understand. They did not understand that it's theater. Go to any black church, or you can go to a myriad of black churches, and you will hear that kind of discussion, that kind of discourse, and it is considered, to a certain degree, African American internal theater. But if you're looking from the outside in, it looks like radicalism. So same thing here with this thing. Listen, the Oracle had taken the switch to yours truly from 0 to 10 maybe twice. I can barely remember. But let's say twice. And I appreciate it now as an adult because I probably did say something slick or I was disrespectful. I mean, when you are a child, you don't really know the rules. You're always trying to test. Maybe, you know, and at the same time, I was going one way. Let me go another way. At the same time, the Oracle would hug me afterward or there would be some kind of position, some kind of explanation. It was, listen, you messed up. We got to handle this. You don't run the house. You don't run the house. So once it's explained, it's not a big deal. So, and also, and he is called the Oracle for a reason, the tangential producer of the show, my father. He had said something to me recently after this Peterson thing came up. He said, you know what? I suspect that perhaps the mother of this child might be non-black, specifically Caucasian, that she might be a white woman. And I'm hearing that one of his, this is where the minstrelsy comes in, Captain, one of his paramours that had his kids, I don't want to say baby's mamas, but that's what it is. One of them is of Caucasian descent. So it's just a matter of, just for feces and giggles, is the one that made the initial complaint, is she white? And that might explain her reaction to the welts from Mr. Peterson administering corporal punishment on his 4-year-old son. Now, I think he might have got overboard to a certain degree. To a certain degree, because there's talk of having welts near his scrotum. I mean, you know, he also is only 4. But that's the way Peterson himself was raised. So in the Southern tradition, that's what he knows how to do as far as administering discipline. Now, another child's mother, or one of his other children's mothers, plural, comes forward a year post another incident, and now here we see sharks in the water doubling up. But Mr. Peterson is a minstrel, not necessarily for administering corporal punishment on his son, but because he has too many goddamn paramours and children. Too many checks have to be handed out for a 29-year-old.
Oh, man.
For a 79-year-old is too much. But come on. Wait, see, that's the part that has to be analyzed. Why do you have so many children? You didn't get to switch enough. He didn't get to switch enough, Captain, because he has to hand out multiple checks. And these children, I doubt they were conceived out of love. I doubt it. To have this many, I mean, that is grotesque dysfunctionalism. And this puts out, again, black dysfunctionalism is laid out bare for the world to see and to analyze and to speculate. That's a side issue. But you better believe that is something that's being discussed in a closed environment, per se. We have yet another child and another woman. As a matter of fact, when I was looking to find out what the ethnicity of his, under normal circumstances, I would not care. But because of the nature of this situation, it makes it interesting as far as who is interpreting this as abuse. Who is interpreting it as abuse? So anyway, I'm looking in Google Images, and it's just a whole roster of women connected to this guy. I'm going to let the captain unpack, and then I'll go a bit more, maybe 2 or 3 minutes on the simp, as I put it, the simp versus player methodology that Mr. Peterson is unaware of. Simp versus player. Captain, what are your thoughts?
Well, when you're dealing with a case such as this, you have to understand power is what's going to rule out. All right, everyone has their spin on it, but we have to respect the power, what the power is and everything else. And I'm going to get into that aspect of it later. But now if I came on here and I looked at this subjectively, I could easily say, look, I was raised in a Christian household according to the book, all right, even though I'm not a Christian. But according to the book, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. That's the first thing, all right? You look at it from that perspective, all right? And that's old school way of thinking, all right? Thinking from that standpoint. That's looking at it subjectively. So you do what's necessary according to the book pertaining to the child. But you have to also, let's look at it objectively. We have an indictment. We have admission on his part, Adrian Peterson, and we also have the pictures. Now, let's respect the power. In the modern day era, not 1970, not early 80s, not 1960, not 50, not down south, okay? Right here in the modern day era, the powers that be says that you can't hit your children in the modern day era. Can't do it. If it's reported, CW comes to your house, that's Child Welfare Services for the uninitiated. They come to your house, they investigate. If it looks really bad, your kids can be taken from you, and all type of charges can be brought up on you. You have to respect that power because they're the ones that are making the laws. Next is the next big power, the power of the advertisers, the people that are putting money into the NFL. They don't like it. So this is what you have to respect. It's not about what people feel is right or wrong, or their values, or how they're raised, or what even statistics says on spanking and everything else. That's irrelevant. The law says in the modern day era, in the modern day era, in the modern day era, not 60s, 70s, can't hit kids. Can't hit them. All right? Can't hit them. And also, you have to follow the money. So when you start to look at it like that, based on that, the powers that be, Adrian Peterson is wrong. So Adrian Peterson has to be sit down. Now we can get into all the personal feelings about it and everything else, but you have to follow the power. So your personal feelings mean nothing whatsoever, and that's the reality of it. It means nothing whatsoever, all right? And a lot of good people have been spanked, have been hit, and been raised well. They're not running around doing menstrual foolishness. They're not running around shooting people. They're not even running around smacking up girlfriends and doing things like that. But that's irrelevant at this given time. You have to look according to the law they have the power, and you also have to look according to the advertisers, the people that are putting the money, and also understand that the NFL is underneath the microscope, mega microscope right now. Every little thing, you spit left and you're supposed to spit right, woo, it's on. Social media, it's over. So back over to you, Seraph from Nerd.
Yes, I see we have a caller, but I want to mention one more thing. And well, it's a few things, then we'll get to the calls. Again, folks, this is the Midweek Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We're talking about the Adrian Peterson child abuse controversy. And I say child abuse in quotes because, again, I'm not so sure that it reaches the threshold of child abuse. I think, now you're getting into, as I said at the top of the show, you're really getting into whose cultural standard are you using? Americans, irrespective of race, let's not pretend that they're not familiar with corporal punishment. I attended a Catholic school during my formative years, and I never experienced it at school, but I could tell I was maybe a decade too late. I was about a decade too late because the brothers and the nuns, the priests, those individuals, more the nuns than the brothers and the priests. The nuns had, many of them had this sternness. They'd give you a look. They were not having it. They put the fear of God, literally, the fear of the theory of God, I should say, before I became agnostic. They put that theory into you where they're not going to accept it. These were diminutive women, but they were mean. So you could tell that maybe 10 years before I was there, they might have a ruler or something. So let's not pretend that this is unfamiliar territory. And still, it's something that has to be calibrated. What is abuse what is discipline? What is being stern? I'm a little disappointed, actually, in the fact that you had a number of sponsors, Anheuser-Busch, I believe the Radisson Hotels, the Campbell Soup, McDonald's. I mean, there are a number of high-profile corporate sponsors that are talking about moving their monies, and the NFL certainly loves money. But I got to bring up a couple of other things, Captain, that we spoke about behind the scenes that make this disturbing tangentially. Also, what's going on here is that these consecutive incidents, whether it's Ray Rice, whether it's Mr. Peterson, there's been a line now. It's looking a little shaky where Mr. Goodell may not know what he's doing, so his leadership is being questioned. There's talk about Condi Rice, which I would like to see. She's a big NFL fan, that she has been talking about that position for many years now. When she talked about leaving her post as Secretary of State under Bush, that was always like kind of a fantasy position she talked about. But now some folks, I think Kirsten Gillibrand, senator from New York, she threw that out there. So it might be a good look. I like Condi Rice. I know it's not fashionable in many circles among black progressives not to like Condi Rice. I like Condi Rice, Dr. Rice. Anyway, what I want our listenership to pay close attention to is that look at how quickly sponsors are able to uproot themselves from something that they deem inappropriate. The reason why that's going down is because football, although it is played with a large amount or played by a large amount with minority players, it is very much an American pastime, an American sport, perhaps the most popular American sport, very much in tune with middle America sensibilities. We saw what happened with Janet Jackson with her infamous boob revelation and quick turnaround. As a matter of fact, ever since then, the halftime shows have been very, very demure. They cut that out right away. So this is kind of going in that same direction. And really what it boils down to, it is not gelling well with white middle American sensibilities. Let me repeat that. It's not gelling well with white middle American sensibilities. So look how quickly, when that segment of society feels a little bit, I don't like the way this is going, the sponsors are ready to uproot their monies. Now, what's disturbing to me is, why can't hip-hop get that same kind of reaction? More than 25 years, one can make a pretty succinct argument that hip-hop is racist and focused on black underdevelopment. If we haven't seen balance since the early 90s. We don't see enough women. We see one or two women. They have to dress salaciously. They have to talk salaciously. If you listen to Anaconda, which got, I don't know, it's probably damn near 100 million views by this time. I don't have to look at it, and I can gather it's around 100 million views. It went to maybe 40 million in under 48 hours. Ms. Minaj talks about slinging cocaine, sleeping with drug dealers. I mean, all kinds of wildness, and it's okay. And she gets sponsorships. So when black sensibilities are affected, monies are not moving out or moving away, they're moving toward it. So it is obvious that it could take very little time. Things could change in hip-hop in under a week based on the reaction of Middle America, in this case with the NFL, somehow black folks are going to have to make this argument and say, wait a minute, hey, the sponsors can leave some of this ignorant stuff if there's enough pressure. I want to know why there's more pressure. Well, I already answered the question. White middle America is affected. Their sensibilities, they're not going to have it. Cap, they're not going to have it. Black folks have been having it and accepting it. Because even at times, I'm thinking, well, this might be difficult. It would take a long time. No, it would take about a week or less, maybe 48 to 72 hours for things to just turn around if monies start leaving. That's it. Oh, go to the call, and I got to talk about the simp versus the player syndrome affecting Mr. Peterson. He's a simp, not a player. All right, going to the phones. 3-1, welcome to Africa Radio. Yes. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Yes, this is B.A. Greetings, D-Bert and Captain Kirk.
Oh, always, man.
How's it going?
Great, brother. I just wanted to chime in on two things. And I'm sorry, I heard your archive, and I have to go back and say something when you talked about acting white, okay, and that whole phenomenon. I don't know where it came from. I thought at times that it was a suspect because when I was growing up as a kid, nobody thought being smart and intelligent was acting white. But nevertheless, over the last 20 years, okay, of being in higher education, it has come to my attention. I always knew this, of course, going to a historically black college, going to Howard, that we should tell black children, not, you know, you should be acting Asian. No, that's understandable. We should tell black children, in terms of pursuing academics, higher education, you should start acting African. Because the truth of the matter is, the Africans, man, the Nigerians, the Ghanaian, the Ethiopian, are giving the Asians a run for their money.
Yep.
Okay? If you go to Johns Hopkins, you go to Howard University, you go to Harvard, i.e. our president, okay? Hey, I'm telling you, the Africans are coming. They're coming on strong, particularly the big African, the Nigerian. I'm not going to say it's a secret, but a lot of people don't know. You run into Africans, man, they got 3-4 degrees in engineering, aerospace engineering, ceramic engineering, material science. They're not playing, okay? And they're coming in, taking our – well, I'm not going to say our spot, but they want affirmative action. You know what I'm saying? They are really, really doing it. They're really doing things, okay? I just wanted to just to chime in. You know, the African brothers are coming here. And they are doing very, very – and in the medical profession, you speak to doctors who get their training in Harlem, in Los Angeles, in D.C. They'll tell – in the 70s and 80s, they'll tell you the – after the West Indian, the Jamaican, the Barbadoan, and the brothers from Trinidad, the Africans, man, were doing very, very well – back then, in the medical professions, okay, the health professions. But let me also move on with the Peterson thing. First, let me say it's football. You got to be a little off. I'm not saying, you know, everybody who plays football got problems, okay. But to play that game, okay, chances are statistically you're not, the model citizen, okay. this whole notion my thing with Peterson, D-Bert, is that he made the 4-year-old boy. That's what I hear. I don't know if it's true or not, but he made the little boy eat leaves. Dude.
Oh, I know.
What eat leaves? Are you kidding me? Yeah. Not only that, the guy, Peterson, he just lost a son due to child abuse. So his son was, and the thing I heard, he had never met the boy.
Yeah, he just found out about it, though. In all fairness, from my understanding, He just found out that that was his kid.
Yeah, well, I understand all fair. But D-Bird, I knew what the fuck, because the kid had, the man had, I don't know how many baby mamas across the country. That's why he just found out about it. Okay? He was laying it down wherever he could. And to me, that's what, along with the child abuse, that's what should be sanctioned. That's what we should bring up. Why in the hell does how many baby mamas does this guy have? There was one NFL running back who had 15 kids and 14 baby mamas. This is real. And he was trying to get a break on his child support. Okay? I mean, the lifestyles that some of these athletes live is definitely what you say, minstrel. It's a minstrel circus going on with some of these NFL players. Now, again, it takes two to tangle. I realize that. Okay, and then some of the women, hey, I know women say one thing, but hey, that's what they want. You had a young lady on your show, highly intelligent, black woman, lawyer. She had a baby with one of the football players. How many? He had six kids, seven kids, six
Cromartie.
Different baby mamas?
Yes.
Am I right or wrong about that?
Yeah, Cromartie.
Yeah. So, I mean, somebody got to do some family planning here. Okay, somebody got to, you know, to me, that I understand the sponsorship. I don't think they're going anywhere. But if I'm a big-time sponsor, man, I would at least bring it up to the commissioner. I mean, come on. What do we got going on here among these players? And then we get upset. I mean, can you imagine when that money starts drying up and now that money stopped coming in for Adrian Peterson? And the kid's about 10, 11 years old. He got about 10, 12 of them out there. Come on, man.
B.A., I want to tell you something. See, that goes into another thing about, you know, we talked about this whole notion of punishment and the switch and the whole, you know, whether we believe it to be an African-American phenomenon, which it isn't solely, but it really is rooted in Southern culture and in African-American culture, quote-unquote, the switch. But My whole thing is, listen, we are coming up, or the NFL is coming up against that. But then, you know, like you just said, you're dealing with a subcultural situation with these lower tier blacks who are having multiple. Because I'm not afraid to talk this way anymore, Captain, because
right.
I can't be held responsible. BA, yourself, we're not acting, conducting ourselves this way. So we can't be so tribal. Because, listen, some Chelsea, New York interior designer is not going to align himself with some white Texan or some surfer dude or whoever. I mean, so I don't have any connection aside from African DNA or whatever you want to say to some of these individuals. We can't be so tribal. We're going to either discuss it truthfully and or take ourselves away from this. I don't know anyone personally that conducts themselves like this. I'm not even saying, I'll make a confession, Captain. I'm not even saying I'm a saint when it comes to the ladies. All right? I would consider myself a gentleman, but hey, hey, not like Tiger Woods. Let me be careful with my words here before I get in trouble. I was very careful with intimacies with the opposite sex, very careful. And always in the back of my head is, I don't want this young lady, I can't conceive of this young lady being the mother of my children. I can't conceive of it. And I was always in my head, if I slip up, I'm doomed. So I'm wondering how these individuals are able to deal with multiple, quadruple women with reckless abandon and then having to cut out checks like an ATM machine. That boggles my mind. I like my money. I like my money. And I don't have the kind of money these gentlemen have. That's the part that I'm just confused. How does this work?
Right.
I would not want to cut checks to these individuals.
Right. Peterson makes $12 million a year. Okay, I don't want to hear about how you were raised. Okay, don't listen, man. When you should be doing better than that. You're not on Pan Alley Road. You're not Skid Row. You're 12 million dollar year the best running back in the NFL. Come on, man. You got to up your game. No, I don't want to hear what your mama and your daddy did to you. This is why you're beating the hell out of your little 4-year old son. Come on, you just have to have a better set of common sense life skills than that, man. If not you, the kid is in trouble. He is in trouble. And thanks a lot, D-Bird, Captain Kirk. I appreciate you taking my call.
As always,
yes,
as always.
Sir, as always.
Well, Captain, the part that I don't understand, well, I guess I should stop saying I don't understand. I guess I do understand to some degree. But no one says anything. See, many years ago, decades ago, there was this overarching cultural standard. It's one thing for your parents to not be there, or rather your parental upbringing might not have been the best, and you make some foolish decisions, foolish choices. But you also had such a harsh societal standard. I'm going back to the 50s now, that just publicly, you would be shunned if you conducted yourself like this, black or white or otherwise. But now there's always been a push to this day, a push to always lower the standard, lower the bar. So the bar has been lowered so much that, you hear folks constantly. I've been told consistently, you can't judge. You can't judge. You can't judge me. So if I can't judge you, you can go about your affairs recklessly. And I don't know what kind of disciplinarian you can be or should be when you have all these different children from different mothers in different states, and you don't really have, like, what was the purpose of it all? To me, at least if you had some really close feelings for the woman that you had intimacies with and you had a child with her and it didn't work out, at least there's something there. But when you
straight
have
hand.
What, five or six?
Like straight hand.
Yeah,
like
have
a straight hand.
Or six different women and you're only 29. I mean, and different children like this, it means nothing. And if you're going to approach it like that, and we're talking manhood, like I made my own confession, if you're talking in a manly way, you better protect yourself. You better be on point. And at some point when you reach maturity, that gets tired. And at his age, approaching 30, come on, man. When you're making that kind of money, you should be playing. One thing I even said to myself, I would be Dr. Doom if I had that kind of money. Captain,
that's good. I like that, Doctor Doom.
Not even Black Panther. Not even. I'm going to break it to an Afro nerd perspective. Not even Black Panther. I would be Doctor Doom with money.
Good.
Diabolical.
That was good.
Respectfully.
That was good.
Respectfully, but diabolical. And we're going to go to a groove, but I got to talk about this whole simp versus player thing.
There's one thing I would like to add. Once you finish.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. I've been referencing, because it's an NFL thing, I've been referencing Wunderlich scores, the test that many NFL players have to take. You're keenly aware of this, Captain. And they've hinted at this on a number of occasions on folks that scored very high and those who scored very low. I'm wondering how he scored on the Wunderlich test, because this is a cognition thing. Maybe cultural, but I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I have to insult you, Captain. Not you, but I'm saying a person who conducts himself this way, I have to insult you, because $12 million. I have a castle in Latveria. You have to sign some paperwork to deal with me. I'm not dealing with any low pro women. You're not going to manipulate me into being a human ATM. You're not. And I'm kind of bouncing all over the place here, but the essential argument here is that you are a simp Mr. Peterson, and those who conduct themselves of your ilk like this. You are a simp. You're not a player. I think when it comes down to their need to prove their manliness and prove their manhood is rooted in having all these women and juggling children. But that's not manly. I'm sorry. It's a simp because I don't believe in being a player either. I was never successful. First of all, I'm not a great liar. I'm not comfortable. And especially as I've gotten older, my ego, you've known me for quite a while now, Captain. My ego is rooted in my honesty. I don't want you catching me in something. That's really what it boils down to. I've learned that quite a while now. People who lie, your story, you have to keep track of your stories. But if you tell the truth, your story always remains the same. So I want people to feel comfortable with me, and I want to be an honorable person. And having these multiple kids, juggling women, you're a simp. Now, a player, and I don't believe in really doing the player thing, but if you're going to be a player, a successful player is a manager. You manage women, and you run the game. You run the situation. But if you are an ATM and juggling women and checks and juggling personalities and all these attitudes, you are a simp with a lot of money. I really want to be either one, but the player makes more sense to me if you really were a player. That's it, Captain.
Now, you see, there has been a definite change from the 60s, 70s, and the early part of the 80s. I know people would say, well, you had Hollywood Henderson, who was the linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, who got, you know, coked up and everything else in the 80s and everything else and ran around crazy and everything else. But for most part, the difference is football, 60s, 70s, and the early part of the 80s. They had families. These men were married. So when practice was over, you went home. You changed a few diapers. Responsibility factor. You know, now you play a game on Thursday, right? Now, you have all the rap music going. You didn't have all of that going that way, and you had better rap music. You had better – everything was just better, all right? Not being too nostalgic, but I have to tell you the truth. Now, players play on Thursday now, Thursday night game. Let's catch a plane and fly out to Miami. Let's catch a plane and fly out to California and ball out. This is when you start to meet all of these women. Years ago, you weren't doing that. Well, one would say, well, you didn't make the same kind of money, but also you had a family. You said you got married. Yeah, that's what you did. You got married. You kept the same woman for, let's say, 12, 13, 14 years. Went home to raise the kids. I got to deal with the two boys. Then my wife is going to run out. So after practice, I got to be home for 3-4 hours. Then the nanny comes in, and I'll go back. I'll check you guys later. Different lifestyle. So you get a little more stability. Some would say a lot more stability. You right now, you get the nice contract. You run around, you're buying 6 and 7 cars and everything else. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, making that kind of money, but you need some form of stability to keep you on the right path. That's all I'm saying, and it's a big difference between now and then. Huge difference. Huge difference. And your mentality will be different. Your cognition is entirely different. Your whole way you move through the maze is different because you have to go deal with the woman. And more importantly to a lot of these males, it's the woman, not so much the woman, it's the two boys. It's the girl and the boy that you have to come home to when you've been playing in the league for the last 3-4 years. That's all. Back over to you, Seraph.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a groove. I just want to say one other thing too, Captain. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, this is not unprecedented as far as entertainers and other high-profile figures having children out of wedlock. But I guess my issue is the quickness and upfront manner, and it seems to be so culturally prevalent, where you have multiple men of color under 35, that have all these kids in different states. And, you know, listen, Mickey Mantle 60 years ago was on the road. I'm pretty sure that Willie Mays was on the road. Hell, even Jackie Robinson was on the road. they're on the road. But I think now we're hearing that comedian Jerry Lewis has a child. The child is, I guess, 60 or 50-something. And DNA came out. He was very belligerent. He's kind of a curmudgeon. He's definitely not the affable, jovial, comedic, quote-unquote, genius that, at least to the French anyway, that some may liken him to be. In his personal life, he's a bit of a difficult dude. Anyway, he had a mishap that we find out decades later, Captain. We find out decades later. And even then, you know, it's not in the same way with, like, boom, checks have to be cut a few months later. Again, the child that was killed, that was abused, he just found out about it. I mean, what are you doing? And the women, you know, and also, I have to dig into, I'm heavily analytical. These women have to be called to the carpet. I know it's not, I know, you know, when you critique women for their behavior, it becomes problematic. You know, I played a clip when we talked about Solange Knowles, and for some reason, some women who, rightfully so, will critique the abuse of women, because no one should be abused. When you talk about maybe some complicity going on or some kind of lack of judgment, you can't blame the victim. At AfroNerd, we're going to stop blaming victims. It goes back to the same thing of they're killing us in suits. No, they're not. Mike Brown wasn't wearing a suit. Trayvon Martin wasn't wearing a suit. MLK was probably wearing a suit. If you're head of the state, if the CIA wants to take out a world leader, that person probably was wearing a suit. So you just can't say these things and there's no validity to back it up. So when they say you can't blame the victim, yes, you got to blame the victim, because there's different levels of victimhood. A baby sleeping in a crib who gets shot in the face by some stray bullet from some minstrel on the other side of town is a victim. But someone who takes Molly and then wants to start some stuff or something happens to him or her, that person may not be a absolute victim. It's going in, it's walking in with dirty hands. So, you know, we have to stop the nonsense, Captain, and start to analyze what people say, and enough with the non sequiturs. You know, making connections that don't really make sense. Those things have to stop. All right, quick 2-minute groove. We'll be back. Let's get off of the Adrian Peterson thing. Let's get on with another minstrel. Maybe 5 minutes for this story. Danielle Watts, actress from Django Unchained. We have to talk about this. Again, it proves my point, Captain. I am not going to weigh in. I'm going to do a Kobe Bryant now. Kobe Bryant said something about Trayvon Martin that he was heavily critiqued for, and I hate to say it. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't hate to say it. What he said makes sense. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I'll leave it at that. I'm going to a quick groove. This is Prince channeling Jimi Hendrix. Who knows? Live. We'll be right back. About 2 minutes, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Folks, you're not ready. Cut me loose on terrestrial, extraterrestrial radio with that heavy funk. ISIS might have to actually uproot me from the mic, Captain, if the music is correct.
Be careful.
You know, it might have to get that severe, you know, if I'm doing what I need to be what needs to be done with the right music and the right accoutrements. Folks, this is AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, the midweek and review edition of the show. The call-in number 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. That was His Royal Badness channeling Jimi Hendrix. You know what it is. All right, who knows? I must have got it, actually. Who knows? Let's just bring in the callers, and we're going to talk about Danielle Watts from Django Unchained. I think she had a rather forgettable part. She was in Weeds, and I think she's with Martin Lawrence on his show. So she's making the rounds. She's a working actress. But I didn't feel comfortable with the initial reporting of this incident. And it really proves once again for me, just for me, that I can't rush in, Captain. I can't rush in. And there's a consistency with the media positioning some of these stories. They're reporting things as fact. You know, she herself referred to her paramour as her boyfriend, not husband. But I'm hearing the term husband being thrown around quite a bit. And the lack of compliance seems to be a theme. In this case, it was a black female in California who just had a hissy fit, and it was much ado about nothing. But if it were a male and you take on this stance, it could lead to your death. And at the root of it is this lack of compliance that many – and I hate to just dump on black folks. I know some folks have emailed me and say, hey, I love your show, but you're too rough on black people. And – I try not to be. We try to balance it. We talk about the excellence in the black community, but we have to talk about this madness that is killing us. In this case, it didn't result in death, but it results in embarrassment. And I believe in adages, Captain. I believe in adages. Stitch in time saves nine. That never changes. There are immortal truths that just don't seem to change. And fools rush in where angels fear to tread is talking about discernment, being careful, weighing the situation. And I just can't take your word for it. I think before the musical number, I mentioned that Kobe Bryant had gotten into hot water because he said something that once again, many Black Twitter probably didn't like what he said as far as his connection to his opinion of the Trayvon Martin situation. But he said, I just can't support you just because you're Black. And I don't have a problem with that. I can't just support you just because you're Black. I mean, there's got to be other things attached to it. Well, anyway, you know what? Opening up the lines, and then we'll also play a clip as to how this is panning out. Now, Captain, there's so much surveillance. This is George Orwell. We are living in an Orwellian nightmare. Because if you say something, didn't I say I'm comfortable being truthful? Didn't I just say that? See, they have satellite images on this stuff now. They pretty much have images of this woman looking like she's looking a little more sexual with the door open than what she's being coy about. All right. 312. Afro-Nerd. Tell us who you are.
This is Sergio.
Hey, Serge.
What's up?
Right.
Hey, Serge.
That's a very funny comment. They had satellite imagery.
Well, TMZ had an overhead shot of some shenanigans going on. The tissues wiping of tissue, you know, tissues being used, and this woman's talking about, I just want to be an American citizen, a land of the free. And come on now, you look like a dust bucket, and your man looks like a dust bucket.
I think she's been pretty much decredited in terms of this whole situation. It is unfortunate that she had to, as I said, pull up the racism card or the race card, because then that diminishes a situation where that really is the case. You know, now anybody can do it. If you saw the CNN interview, which pretty much blew the whole thing, she and that boyfriend of hers just basically shoveled a lot of BS and double talk. And even when she was asked, were you actually having sex in the car, how somehow she basically admitted that she was, but it wasn't a problem because they were clothed. Basically, that's what it came down to. So it's embarrassing. She has her, you know, she got her 5 minutes of fame. I really don't remember her in Django Unchained, and I've seen that film I don't know how many times. I don't remember her. So there you go. By the way, two things. One of the main reasons why the NFL is going so crazy over this child abuse thing and Ray Rice is the fact that I just read an article recently. They're losing younger viewers. Younger viewers are not watching NFL in numbers that they have, and it's mainly a middle-aged, older audience, for the large part, that watches NFL. And as that audience gets older and dies off, they're not really being replaced. So a situation like the Peterson guy doesn't attract younger viewers. So that's another problem they have. The other thing, too, is that you talk about him. How many kids does he have? Five or six?
I don't know. I think, yeah, something like seven with five different women.
Yeah,
but 29.
He has how many?
Basketball team.
I believe seven with five different women.
Well, my God. You see, how come that doesn't come out? But he still doesn't beat the guy who's been on Iyana Fix My Life. Have you been watching this? The guy with 34 kids? by 17 different women?
I think we spoke about it briefly. I couldn't.
Oh, you did,
Sergio. Honestly, I don't have enough. I don't have enough in me. I don't have enough in the tank to. I can't handle that.
Being a masochist that I am, I have been watching those shows, and boy, it's pure coonery, pure coonery. And I'm not just talking about the guy. I'm talking about Iyana. I'm talking about the women. I'm talking about everybody involved in that show. It's pure coonery, and also it exposes the hypocrite that Oprah is. Isn't Oprah supposed to uplift people? Wasn't that her main goal?
Well, she was also critiqued for many years for being anti-male or male bashing, so that fits in with that theme.
Oh,
this is men being men. This is men being men. And we don't need...
Right.
Listen, this is not... One quick thing. This is not breaking new ground. I mean, because like you said, I rail about this weekly, Sergio. This is a minstrel industry. Why would she have to delve into something that has already been established? Shorty Lowe could have gone this route last year with his show. I mean, I don't need to know about this group.
Even as I wrote in my article about Marquise Brownlee, who you've talked about on your show. Marquise Brownlee. You know, you would think that it'd be perfect for a network like OWN, like BET, like Bounce, to give this brother a show, you would think. But no, they can't do that. Of course, they would rather have a guy who has 34 kids. And I brought that up in my article. It's funny, they'll rather have a guy like him than this intelligent brother, Marquise Brownlee, who's amazing. Totally amazing with his, but then again, maybe he's in a better place with his YouTube shows. He has 1.5 million viewers. He gets just as many viewers as Oprah does for any show she does, even more.
Yeah, from his dorm room.
So, right.
From his dorm room.
So, right. So that's why I had to profile him, because I had never heard of him before until I came across him by accident in another website. And when I investigated him, I was blown away. And I said, how come I never heard of this guy before? Why isn't Ebony writing about him? Why isn't The Root writing about him? Why isn't The Griot writing about him? Shadrinak, we wrote about him. But what about anybody else?
Yeah, I find his story fascinating because I've been speaking about this kid for the last couple of weeks because, first of all, I am a subscriber, definitely. And the fact that he is so poised, well-versed, and knowledgeable of these products, and the fact that he's doing it from his dorm room, he's doing it in such a professional manner. We've seen him grow, mature, literally right before our eyes, because he started at around 14. Now
exactly.
He's 20. And he is talking to CEOs and establishing relationships from his dorm room. He's testing Tesla automobiles. I mean, he's making the rounds already. He's potentially making six figures just doing a YouTube show. So the sky is the limit for this gentleman, this young gentleman. And like, I don't understand. Black folks aren't interested in it. Wears thin for me, Serge, when we can't make it, we don't know what to do. He got a camera and started talking. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
The reason why you don't see much black media focus on a guy like this, or even black people talk about a thing like this, because it makes them look bad. In other words, you know what? I could have done that.
But
I could have been like that guy.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
Yes, you can.
Earrings.
Yes, you can.
Well, listen.
Yes, you can.
Mr. Peterson has two earrings. You have the same ghetto code, the ghetto shout out. You know, this belief that being corporate, didn't we just discuss last week, even B.A. brought this up, about the whole acting white phenomenon. This guy's elocution and erudition is so on point for his age that I think even in the YouTube comments, they're talking about what's wrong with him because he speaks the way that he does.
Here's the deal.
Because he speaks well, they're telling it, they're saying, what's wrong with him? Really?
No, because they are embarrassed. Here's the thing. You cannot – don't forget, he's African-American. He is not Nigerian.
Yeah.
He is not from Ghana. He is not Kenyan. He is not –
But his father
was
there. But his father was there, sir. His father was there, and his father was also,
okay.
I guess, an information tech guy.
But that's the excuse. That's what a lot of people would – No.
Excuse.
That's the excuse
a lot
of black people would say. A lot of black people would say, well, of course, you know, he's West Indian. You know, he's not like us. You know, he doesn't understand what slavery is. You know, they can't use that excuse.
They can't use that excuse, but the funny part is that he simply came from a functional family unit. End of story. He came from a functional family unit. The folks, the people speaking on this broadcast, you, myself, Captain, we came from functional family units. That's how our comportment is the way it is.
That's a very important thing, but, you know, I sent you that article today about that 10-year-old kid who has a cookie company fortune. Right. And I noticed in the video piece, they never mention his father. It's always his mother. Is the father in the house? Is the father there? You would assume that if he was, they would mention him.
Well, they're
so
used
I
to
agree
that.
With you.
His father. I'll give two things. His father could be in the picture. There's two things going on here. His father could be the picture, but it also could be that they're so used to a certain narrative that they're just going to push the mother. That narrative doesn't change unless you challenge it. Hell, they got us in commercials. They're making commercials where the father is not existent. They have cards, Happy Father's Day Mom cards, and the mahogany line. So, I mean, it is what it is. No one's combating this. I just said that the NFL, the monies are being taken away, or the threat of monies are being taken away, because white Midwestern sensibilities are not having this minstrelsy. But the turnaround is lightning fast, Sergio. But for some reason, the hip-hop community, some of the problems that we have with this music, the one-dimensional nature of it, could be turned around in hours based on how the corporate structure is treating the NFL. How come they can treat the NFL this way but not the hip-hop industry this way? That has to be challenged. Now, this is when black folks should be digging in to say, hey, wait a minute. All of a sudden, white folks' panties are in a bunch, and things are changing, and maybe rightfully so, No one wants to see this Mistral Act. But at the same time, I don't want to see the Mistral Act that Clear Channel provides, and yet it's a 30-year-old problem now. It's a 30-year-old problem.
But I go back to that question that I asked several weeks ago. Is hip-hop still that popular? Is it? I don't know. I don't listen to it. I have somehow get the feeling that it isn't. What kind of sales do people have nowadays? I don't know. First of all, the music industry has changed so much in the last decade that no one is selling records, albums like they were a decade ago, 15 years ago. But if you took all the top people and you look actually at the sales they've been doing, does it match what the people were doing 10 years ago?
No.
Anaconda. Is Anaconda that big a success compared to other successes 10 years ago?
Well, you know, the answer to your question is, because we spoke about this, I think it's even a bit more insidious than that, Sergio, because you would think there would be an expansion of different types of black music or different types of black product based on the fact that hip-hop really isn't all that. It's funny that when folks say someone is relevant or irrelevant, because, wait a minute, what was relevant 10 to 15 years ago when you actually had record stores would be someone like Eminem that would sell a million or 1.5 the first week of release. Now a hit like Waka Flocka or Wiz Khalifa, he will move 70,000 units or 100,000 units for the week, and that's considered a success. But what makes it worse is you have 360 deals now where these people are selling cologne. They're selling sneakers. I think it's even worse than what it was years ago because music was just music. It really wasn't about musicians selling sneakers and selling products and aligning themselves with the corporations now. Now you have someone like Lil Wayne in bed with Mountain Dew. Someone like Rick Ross in bed with Reebok. So it's a different ball of wax now. I think it's more ubiquitous. It's to the point now where we're just kind of, you know, it's just normal. It's background noise. When I go to the gas station, I see young men and women of different colors now, different ethnicities, listening to nigga, nigga, nigga all day. I'm going to kill this nigga. I'm going to slice his throat. I'm going to take out his family. This is what's being repeated on wax consistently, and no one is actually buying it. They're downloading it because they might have got it with their Starbucks coffee.
See, but how many people?
It's worse. It's exponentially worse.
Yeah, but how many people who are into alternative music is really paying attention to that? You gotta argue or think there are millions of people who are not paying attention to it, who are ignoring it, who don't care, who follow their own taste and their own preferences. You know, you can shove all that stuff down somebody's throat. If they don't want to listen to it, they're not going to listen to it. Now, yeah, true. There are people who don't have a real sense of, you know, there's that old line by Nikki Giovanni in a poem where she says, "My universe is five blocks." There are people mm-hmm. who have that five-block mentality. That's all they know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. In a way, they're lost. Nothing you're going to do to get people to step outside.
There are a group of people, maybe within that five-block radius, that are receiving a steady diet of this stuff. Because I'm seeing some of this stuff up close, Sergio. And matter of fact, someone like Mr. Starks, who, and even Black Achievement, I would suspect, who's in the educational field, but I know Mr. Starks for sure. And as a matter of fact, I have friends that are high school principals, and they will tell you a different story. They will tell you that these young women and men are being fed hip-hop, their parents are playing it all day long. It's a type of programming specific to Black and brown kids.
Well, you just said it right there. They're parents.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I wish I had remembered to talk about this. We were supposed to make this a two-hour show, and I failed to do that. I wish I did. But I spoke to Mr. Starks recently, and I got to get him on the show because he will tell you some horror stories about what he's seeing up close with young girls, 6, 7, 8 years old, drawing penises, trying to attract boys, drawing penises where you would think a girl that age would not even know what a penis looks like. But she's drawing it, being suggestive. One girl he dealt with, he had a discipline. She was jumping up from jumping around the classroom, jumping from chair to chair, saying, "Eat my pee, eat my pee, eat my genitals, eat my genitals," like around 7 years old. Many of these Black children, matter of fact, we joke about them, they have to have their own personal Jeromes. Now, what do I mean by personal Jerome? Jerome Benton, we all know from The Time, Morris Day's valet. You have 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds. Now, these kids, this is like a typical public school. This is not school for, like, special needs children. These kids are – there's so many kids that he's dealing with that are emotionally distressed, so emotionally distressed that they have to be accompanied by an adult when they go to school. So you see a 7-year-old in class, Black child, 98% of the time, with an adult, with his own personal adult, because he is emotionally out of it. And Mr. Starks is dealing with this consistently. And again, this school is not specifically a school that you would classify as some kind of special needs school. You just have a large amount of kids that have emotional problems. And he says even the brown kids who have names like Robert Sanchez, Julia Rodriguez, they're not requiring a Jerome. Keisha have their own personal Jeromes. So when these kids become adults and you see them in an elevator in a drunken stupor, and somebody gets smacked the hell out of it, you're not seeing yours truly having that much of an effect on it. Doesn't I know what's going on. That you're dealing with a different class of black folk that are being raised under some severe circumstances, and it's going down right now. And nobody wants to talk about the origins. So this is a lot deeper than you could ever imagine, Sergio. We've got to get stuck somewhere.
Well,
we will tell you.
No, I have a friend, a very close friend, who is a public school teacher for many years, and she has told me very similar stories.
Crazy.
Yeah, very similar stories.
So now we have to hear that, you know, Ray Rice is just smacking up his woman. No, what kind of woman is this? What, I mean, you have to look at the entirety of the situation. You know, is he dealing with a quote-unquote hood rat?
Well, you,
I mean,
know,
you know
what?
A woman,
you remember...
a woman of accomplishment is not going to be sticking around. Listen, I don't stick around with a woman that talked to me funny. I mean,
well, you know
Captain
what?
Murphy, hold on, Serge. If a woman says something to me cross as an adult, I'm gone. What makes a woman get smacked in the head and stick around? Go ahead.
Well, you know, a friend of mine, I always tell this to a friend of mine. You remember a couple of years ago, the HBO used to do these series about pimps and hookers, like Pimps Up, Hoes Down, that whole series.
Yeah.
And I remember they talked to this one pimp, and he was asked, how do you get women to trick out on the street? You know, how do you do that? And he said, it's simple. The first thing you do is you don't find a woman with low self-esteem. You find a woman with no self-esteem. And I always remember that line. And when I looked at that woman, the wife, I forgot her name, the wife of Ray Rice, and then she marries him the next day. Janae. She marries him the next day. Part of it is a legal thing because, okay, a wife can't testify against her husband, but part of it is a legal thing. But I look at it and I go like, that's a woman with no self-esteem.
Yeah. Serge, we got seconds. We will table
all
this
right
for Saturday. As always, we appreciate it. If you come by New York, we'll check you out.
I will.
Folks,
I'll be there in about 2 weeks. Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's go to Get It All, Mandrill. Mandrill is 1972. That's the name of the album. Mandrill is 1972. See you on Saturday, 6 p.m. It's been real.
Glory.